Friends, I love a well-told story. And in the course of my life, I've had some privilege to listen to people tell stories. Some of them just sitting there, relating something that happened in their life, something quite ordinary perhaps, but telling it with verve and enthusiasm, and seeing the humor in life even when it's a bit challenging. I also think back to some sort of carefully crafted stories that I have enjoyed in my lifetime. Back in the 1950s, there was a series on CBC Radio which was based on the writings of W.O. Mitchell. The series was called Jake and the Kid. I don't know whether it rings a bell with anyone or not, but it was well-told stories of life on the prairies, and it featured on the CBC the commanding voice of John Draney, and it was just one of those things that pulls you right in. Then along in the 70s, I encountered the stories written by a veterinarian named James Herriot. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small. And again, he featured on ordinary events in life, things that were not of themselves, perhaps all that spectacular, but when well told and reflected upon, very informative and actually quite instructive. He told his stories as life as a veterinarian, caring for people and their livestock and their pets. Then along in the 1990s, there was a person who I started to notice, a person who was an occasional visitor on Peter Zewski's This Country in the Morning. A man by the name of Stuart McLean. And he too had that way of taking the very ordinary things of life and conveying them in a very compelling way. That emerged then into Stuart McLean's own radio program on CBC Radio, The Vinyl Cafe, which was about ordinary people. It featured a family as the principal characters, but with a number of other regular people included. There was Dave and his wife Morley, and their two children, Sam and Stephanie. And Dave ran a record store, hence the name Vinyl Cafe. And it was a record store in a time when, you know, vinyl was beginning to disappear as the medium for music. And he had a slogan for his store, which I think we should not forget here in Elberton. Dave's slogan for his store was, "We may not be big, but we're small." Which makes you chuckle when you hear it, but actually conveys a truth. You know, it's not this huge place in which you're going to be lost. We'll give you personal attention. And lamentably, Stuart McLean died last year, still in full swing up to that point in his life, writing a story almost every week for broadcast on the CBC. They were later published. He also toured and told his stories in person, and I've had the privilege of hearing one or two of his presentations, and he was masterful. Well, now I perhaps raised your expectations too high this morning, because I have neither the skills of writing or telling a story that these individuals had, but I have a story for you. And I begin by actually borrowing the name for my character. And I borrowed the name without apology from Stuart MacLean. The name is Murphy Kruger. Now, Murphy, as far as I know, only appeared in a few of the stories that Dave wrote near the end of his life. Murphy Kruger was a friend of Dave and Morley's son, Sam. A teenager. Nice kid. Well, with that beginning point, let me tell you my story about Murphy Kruger. Like many teenagers, Murphy Kruger was looking for a hobby. And the thing that appealed to him was collecting things. That seemed to fit right in with his personality and character. And he experimented with a variety of things. He, you know, had some sports cards, but then everybody had those. He thought about collecting postcards and even got started on it. But his family and friends didn't travel a whole lot, so there weren't many people to send him postcards. And that hobby was a little slow. He thought about collecting matchbook covers. But his mother wasn't terribly enthused about him stowing away all these matchbooks in his bedroom, even though Murphy said that he'd keep them all in a tin box and they'd be quite safe. And, you know, there were other things. Pennants. He had a collection of felt pennants that relatives and friends had bought for him when they went somewhere. But again, he hung them up in his room all around the ceiling line. And they were a nice addition to his bedroom, but very slow as a collection. He liked them better for their interior design capacity than to say, this is my collection. Oh, he had comic books, but to him, comic books were just for reading. You didn't think about those as something you would collect. You just liked the ones you liked, and you sometimes traded to get more of them from somebody else who had ones that appealed to you. But then people started suggesting to him, because he was out there asking, what should I do? Some people said, coins. You don't collect coins. People collect coins. Well, that sounded kind of interesting and exotic. But then, and a couple of people actually gave him some small coins that had been left over from travel destinations outside of Canada. But again, they didn't really come easily or frequently to him, and he didn't know how he could build on this. But then he found it. Stamps. Wow. He couldn't figure out how he'd missed it. They're there. He saw them regularly. He hadn't thought about collecting them. And so, you know, he started. He put the word out to his family and friends, everyone he talked to. Cut the stamps off your envelopes and save them for me. And actually, people cooperated beautifully. In fact, some relatives that lived at a distance even went out of their way to put attractive commemorative stamps on things that were being sent to Murphy Kruger's household, just so that he would have something a little special to add to his collection. And you know, he did all the usual things that someone who's taking something really seriously would do. He went to the library, and he talked to the librarian, and he asked about, what can I learn about collecting stamps? And he began to discover that this was a huge thing. There were books, there were catalogs. And before long, Murphy had gotten himself a stamp album, and he decided fairly early on that he'd specialize in Canadian stamps. And he learned a lot. You know, he collected stamps, and he as he got a few that were older, he began to realize that they introduced him to some history he didn't know about. And he just moved into this stamp collecting with a passion. He read everything he could find about stamp collecting, particularly Canadian stamps. He pored over books. You know, he looked at those 1852 three-penny beavers, and man, they were appealing. Exotic. Never, of course, would he ever have one of those. How would he ever come into the possession of a stamp from that long ago? But as he studied them, he saw things that intrigued him, like an 1897 Queen Victoria Jubilee stamp that was eye-catching. And one on that commemorated Wolfe and Montcalm. But these were just pictures in books, because he didn't actually have these stamps. They were ones that he could yearn for, but he really didn't think he had much of a hope of ever acquiring them. Then the ultimate came to him. He saw picture of a 1929 Canadian stamp that featured the Blue Nose sailing ship. And Murphy decided, somehow or other, he wanted actually to own that stamp. Have it. And he looked it up in catalogs, and you could buy it, but he didn't have quite that much money. It wasn't an impossible sum, but it was a real stretch. But the more he looked at it, the more he yearned for it. He began to plot and scheme how he could trade some of his stamps. Oh yes, in the meantime, he'd also joined a little stamp club. And some more serious, older collectors visited the club and brought their collections along with them. And he actually got to see one of these 1929 Blue Nose stamps. And finally, he found someone who was willing to trade some stamps so that he could have one. And he gave up a lot, but he proudly came home with this Blue Nose stamp, the prize of his life. And of course, he was at that point, he talked to everybody he knew about stamps. Everybody who knew Murphy Kruger only knew one thing about him, perhaps, but they knew he collected stamps, because that's what he talked about. That's what intrigued him. That's what motivated him. Oh, yes, he went to school. He did other things, but he lived stamps. The story of Murphy Kruger. And then a voice interjects in my story. And the voice says, The way Murphy Kruger felt about stamp collecting is what it is like to belong to the kingdom of God. Think about that for a second. Well, let me help you think about it. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The forerunner of Murphy Kruger. Jesus told another very short story, a parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Kind of a Murphy Kruger. You see, there is nothing halfway about the kingdom of God. The kingdom asks everything of you, your loyalty, your commitment, your enthusiasm, your exuberance, your willingness to be identified with the kingdom as Murphy Kruger was prepared to be identified with stamp collecting. There are certain responses that one can make to the kingdom of God. That's nice is not one of them. It's never an adequate response to Christ and his kingdom. You can say, I don't believe it. Or you can say, I need to know more. Or you can say, that's wonderful, count me in. But you can't say, that's nice. Jesus told stories. As they're preserved for us, they're very Spartan. They don't have many details. I don't think that Jesus spun them out, though I think maybe there were a few more details in the times of telling than actually get recorded in the preserving of the stories for us in the gospel. But they were always focused so that you didn't get distracted by the details. You got the main point of it. And we can assume that Jesus told his parables many times to different crowds, in different situations. He told various parables that said essentially the same thing, but they reinforced one another and helped make clear to his listeners the point he was trying to make. So, first of all, remember Matthew 13 and the two brief parables I read to you from that source. But don't forget about Murphy Kruger either. Because, you see, we need to have something of the spirit of Murphy Kruger when we think about the faith that we profess. Because our faith needs to absorb us, needs to captivate us, needs to enthrall us, enthuse us. Something we're prepared to be identified with and talk about. Because that's the nature of God's kingdom. So friends, I don't send you out to start stamp collecting. I send you out to ponder your faith and the ways in which you reflect the ardent, enthusiastic spirit of a Murphy Kruger stamp collector. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.